The Anti-Defamation League indicates in 2022, the level of anti-Semitic speech and attacks on Jewish Americans increased to one of the highest levels ever. And the current conflict between the nation of Israel and the terrorist group Hamas is serving to make anti-Semitism in America and Colorado even worse. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. Although these incidents of anti-Semitism attacks and speech can't be connected to any one group, it is known that white supremacist groups have been working to spread anti-Semitic propaganda. Both pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli demonstrations have already taken place in Denver the last few weeks and also expected with the World Conference of the Jewish National USA meeting in Denver. Although it is perfectly fine to hold or share viewpoints, communicating any views with hate and anti-Semitic actions is not. The Mountain States chapter of the Anti-Defamation League has worked for decades to assist people to share their viewpoints, and especially with youth, in a positive, constructive manner. The ADL Mountain States Executive Director is Mr. Scott Levin.
It's been a year this past month. It is an unfortunate truth that I think everything that's going on at every level, if people just automatically go to their corners, you know, and it's, you know, my team versus your team. And that makes it very challenging.
People get polarized pretty quickly. Usually is it regarding what they see, what they hear, or just maybe some feelings they had before, and it gives them a chance to codify them. How do they manage that within themselves or the things they already know and what to do?
Well, I think you've identified a big problem of what goes on today, and it's what some people call a confirmation bias. People already are coming from certain perspectives and certain, you know, long-felt beliefs, and then they view everything that's happening in the world, how that is measured against those beliefs. And so a lot of times, that just means that people are confirming what they already believe to be true, and it's put them in great juxtaposition or in a contrary position to anybody that doesn't think like they do, that looks like they do, that prays or loves like they do, and that's a real challenge.
When the action started over in Gaza, what was the... I guess it was an immediate response here in America. Did you start hearing reports coming into the ADL here?
Well, look, I think that what happened on October 7th, and as we learned it on that day, was just pure evil in terms of the way that the massacre was taking and place with children and women and elderly people to think that there were people who saw, you know, who had survived the Holocaust and had flames, you know, set to their houses and died at that during this time. It's just terrible and disgusting.
Yeah.
And I think that in those first day or two or three after the incident, I think that the world recognized that had been perpetuated. And I think now, as things have progressed and Israel's doing what it feels it must do to be able to get back over 240 hostages and to ensure that these terrorists who've announced that they'll just keep doing it over and over again, to get them to stop doing that, you know, it is obviously got the hell that is war that's going on. And there's innocent people that are sort of been placed between the weapons and the terrorists and Israel, who wants to get at them.
Yeah.
And so it's made it extraordinarily difficult. In our world, what we've seen at the Anti-Defamation League is just the sharp rise of anti-Semitic incidents that have occurred. We're up, you know, well over 300% higher number of anti-Semitic incidents year over year. Our office is receiving... because not everything we receive is actually anti-Semitic. People can be opposed to the policies of Israel, or they can, you know, you want there to be peace and all of those things. That's not anti-Semitic. But the people that are contacting our office are up four times what they were a year ago. So we are stretched well beyond our capacities at this time.
I know one of the things that we've talked about before, and one of the more important things that your office does is to teach children and young people how to manage things like this, how to manage their feelings or things that they're hearing. What would you suggest the parents do to talk to their kids about it so the kids come off with at least a balanced view or a manageable view that they can handle?
Yeah, I think that especially for all of us, not just children, I think we really have to try to make sure that we're bringing in as many valid news sources as possible to try to learn actual facts that we can trust about what each side is doing. And then we have to have respect for one another. Unfortunately, as you indicated in the beginning, people sort of separate like it's a team sport. They automatically go to their corners of where they're at. And I think what you have to do is have an open mind to be willing to have a conversation, have a willingness to listen more than speak, and to hopefully be given the opportunity then to tell what your conclusions and your thoughts are on it. But at the heart of all of this, what we try to educate people about is that they need to have a respect for one another. And if you can start in that position, I think it would be so, so helpful.
It's probably harder and more challenge to do having respect for each other when our country right now is having disrespect for each other right here, much less someplace else. So trying to put both of those together probably is going to take an extra amount of work or controlling of feelings than at any other time than you've probably seen before.
That is absolutely true. And I think what we've observed, just like you have, is it doesn't matter these days whether it's a local, national, international issue. People have very passionate and heartfelt beliefs. They jump to them very quickly, and trying to get people to take a deep breath and try to have a bit of respect for each other is really hard. And unfortunately for kids, they're seeing the adults in the room, whether it's their parents or teachers or elected leaders or whoever that might be, then they fall sort of victim to this same belief of just taking positions and not really always being open to listening to all sides and to be able to, you know, bring in enough facts that you can actually draw an actually well-founded conclusion as opposed to just confirming the narrative that makes sense with what you already thought.
Is that something that adults have to really be aware of if they're discussing things around children, is that children are going to listen to what you say, and being concrete sequential, they're going to repeat it. So they've got to model some good positive behavior for kids.
Yeah, and as you and I have talked about before, I think the same is for adults. You know, we look to our elected leaders and to community leaders and to others, and we take our cues from those kinds of people. And even more so, our children take those cues from us. And so it's important, I think, at every level to try and model much better and much more respectful behavior than what we've seen in this country, especially over the last several years.
Are you at the ADL finding that you have to also knock down a lot of disinformation that people may be getting? Because in this day and age, they post everything online, and it may be right or not, and you're having to not only decipher the disinformation, but let them know where they can get better sources?
Oh, gosh, yes. And I think, you know, part of the challenge of that is, again, in a country where everything is divided up, in the way that it is, especially our political lines. No one trusts the news sources that they believe that the others are reading or watching or listening to. So it makes it that much more difficult. And to be honest, Adam, I have great fears we enter into this next year and the next election cycle that's going to be coming up, how much worse it's going to be with the certain increase in artificial intelligence, the ability to use deep fakes that are out there, and all sorts of things that we just never had to contemplate before. I'll give you an example. Even sure. on a lower technology basis, we just recently had at a city council meeting at a suburban Denver town council where people signed up during the public comment section, you know, when you're supposed to be talking about you want a new traffic signal or you don't like the speed bump or you don't like that you're paying as much taxes, whatever you do in the public comment period. And people hijack the comment period by using very anti-Semitic names. And then when they were called on to give their 3 minutes, they just went into anti-Semitic rants that were there. Again, prior to the last few, you know, prior to COVID, who would have ever even thought that you could attend your town council meeting by going on Zoom, where you would have the ability to sort of hijack the proceedings that way? Not as many people are brave enough to show up in person and be racist and homophobic and anti-Semitic, but they sure find it easy if the technology allows them to do it. Yeah, and the technology today is, as I said, with artificial intelligence and deep fakes, it's even getting much more sophisticated and will, I think, be seeing, unfortunately, the worst of it as we enter into the next election cycle.
You know, everybody says, what can we do about it? But is one of the things, or one of the things that people can do to help protect themselves is to, before they start getting tons of messages as we get closer to the election cycle, is to take a long evaluative look at where they get their information to ensure their information is coming from at least credible sources that fact check themselves, so that when they get stuff from someplace else, they can just ignore it and keep going.
Yes, I think that's important. And I think, again, the hard part of doing that is that in America today, I might have an idea of what's a credible source, and somebody that doesn't believe the way I do, they don't think it's credible, and vice versa. So I think trying to figure out that credible sources is important. And the other part of that is, if you can't, just make sure you're looking at a lot of different sources.
And so that if you're looking at a lot of distant sources, you'll be able to see the consistency between true information than something which may not be true, which will be inconsistent. You don't see it any place else. That doesn't mean it's wrong, but it does mean that multiple sources gives it more validation.
That's exactly right. I think all too often we look at those that don't agree with what we're saying as if they were fringe or on the outside. Sometimes they are, but sometimes it's just different, a viewpoint than we have. And if you're looking at a lot of different sources, and you should always include, so you, whether you believe in the mainstream or you don't believe in the mainstream, you ought to at least know what the mainstream is saying so that you have something to measure against. And that's I think that's a real challenge. And I think, you know, back to the education of kids right now, it's a lot harder than when you and I were kids and there were three major networks that were out there, and you know, there were a limited number of news sources that were available. Right now there's so much, and you know, part of what I fear is when I talk about looking at a lot of different news sources, you and I know how to go look at different magazines and media and the like. You know, kids, the kids of today, of course, are getting their major news sources from, you know, TikTok reels or from Telegram streams or from, you know, other sources that we may never visit. That's out there. And, you know, unfortunately, in today's world, too, news is coming out in 30-second, you know, clips of what's being done, and where people are not really taking the time or the effort to dig deep on these issues. And that's something that we really think is a much better way for anybody, including students and younger people, to try and get their news.
On this edition, our focus is how to lessen and end the increasing level of anti-Semitism taking place in Denver and America, being stimulated by the Hamas-Israeli war. Our guest is Mountain State's Anti-Defamation League Executive Director, Mr. Scott Levin. We will continue with him on our next edition. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch. And many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.